After several years in my academic work at Catholic University, I've been known to say that in the academic life, the only thing better than tenure is inherited wealth. And the only thing better than being the dean is being the former dean. I say that because every spring I dreaded engaging in the annual performance evaluation of the faculty and the staff. My job was to evaluate their dossiers, what they had done that year, writing, publishing, teaching, and encourage them, challenge them, support them, whatever. But I knew that many faculty abused tenure. The pinnacle of their career was their tenure file, and been flying coast ever since. And you cannot challenge them because of tenure. Then there's the staff. The best one was one time I evaluated a staff member, and the next day the parent called to complain. I was no fan of performance evaluations. Turns out in today's gospel, there is no performance evaluation necessary. Because you see, given the time and place in which the gospel was written, not our own, but given that time and place, to be a servant was to be someone who got room and board, was taken care of, never complained, had a very clear job description. They simply had to do what they had to do, and they did it. Now, some would say that today's gospel should not say servant, it should use the word slave, because in fact, slave was being someone, at that time, very much attached to the family. That doesn't work in our culture, because of the way slavery worked in even this part of the world, in terms of oppression, sometimes bondage, and sometimes beatings, as Georgetown University is facing up to in its history. So I think the word servant matters. And we say the word servant. Towards the end it says, unprofitable servants. That sounds like somebody who was lazy or not getting anywhere. Well, turns out those servants didn't need to have any profit. They earned nothing. They were taken care of. They did what was expected of them. And it sounds easy. But I suspect in your life and my life, it's not quite so simple. Let me give three examples. From time immemorial, marriage vows spoke about being true in sickness and in health. Now those words are extraordinarily beautiful and profound, and when proclaimed in a beautiful church or on the gazebo on a beautiful day, not like today, and married couples go typically down the aisle, those are the vows. But then the wedding is over and the marriage starts. My cousin Rick married Susan, extraordinarily happy couple. But Susan suffered from interminable back pain her whole life. She was a nurse. They both had to work. Had three children. She took the night shift. Until the end of her time, she was on a walker in sickness and in health, trying to make it work. 24 years into the marriage, she was killed in a car accident. Left Rick bereft with three children. Her physical suffering was over, but his sickness began anew in terms of grief that he never expected to have to deal with. Doing God's will is not always as easy as it sounds or seems. Number two, my own vocation of ordination. I hear tonight's second reading as a powerful reminder and challenge to get back to the fervor with which I began and let the Holy Spirit one more time fill my heart and fill my words. Sounds good. But sometimes in preaching, there can be a temptation to hold back and not to give the bad news with the good news. I spent yesterday at Georgetown University at a wonderful symposium about ethics and the environment, about Laudato Si, the Pope's encyclical of 15 months ago on the environment. And one of the commentators said, in much of the church, this encyclical is regarded very, very highly and taught widely, but not in America. And in the words of one American cardinal, he said this week, because it is sometimes too difficult to read. It asks too much. Yes, the Pope does ask about energy consumption. He asks about too much air conditioning. He asks about wasting paper. And he asked about lobbying for those who don't have food and live in food deserts. Sometimes those are hard things to hear. And sometimes as a preacher, pride, popularity, gets in the way of the two-edged sword of the Word of God. Sometimes it can become a butter knife. Then, if you have an hour to spare, an example of that is a movie that Jack Lemmon was in after Days of Wine and Roses. It was called Mass Appeal. You came to Mass and it's an appeal. Mass Appeal. If you Google it, be sure to Google the movie, not the first couple of terms. About an hour and a half. It's about Jack Lemmon who sells out because he says, the Nielsen ratings of the homily is the amount of the collection. He sold out. Did not preach the word in season and out of season, as Paul says to Timothy a few verses later. Not always easy to do God's will. And finally, the life of faith for all of us. Sometimes that's not easy at all. In fact, there's a new book about the Psalms that's entitled Pleading, Blessing, and Cursing God. Now, in fairness, that's what the Psalms do. They plead, they bless, and sometimes they curse God. And if we're honest, sometimes we despair in our life of faith. We're like Habakkuk in the first reading, crying out, what's this all about? And sometimes people decide it's not worth it. As you well know, most recent surveys in the Pew report about American religion says the highest number of people, the highest increasing population among religious people in this country are the nuns, N-O-N-E, not female religious, but nuns, those who go to no church. They are not affiliated, nothing. What's also growing, besides the nuns, are the duns. D-O-N-E, I'm done with it. I've had enough. I can't do it anymore. It's asking too much. Or asking not enough. Breaks my heart, of course. But somehow we forget that we're in this together. And that's why we show up. To increase our faith together. And like the image of today's gospel, it might be a mustard seed, but that's sometimes all you need when someone else's faith is on life support. And that's why we're here. Church means belonging together. And the nuns and the duns somehow choose differently. Life of faith in marriage, in priesthood, in life in general, is not always as easy as it seems, and doing God's will is not always as simple as it comes across for the servant in today's gospel. We need to look at that, examine that, and then move forward, hopefully, with the faith that we celebrate tonight at this altar as we take the bread of life and the chalice of salvation. Turns out that when Jesus was going to his death, in three of the Gospels it says there was an agony in the garden. He did not want to do it and did not want to drink the chalice of suffering. One Gospel says he did it willingly. I find that a great consolation on the days when my faith is like the size of mustard seed or even on life support. If that was Jesus' experience, it's good enough for me. It turns out that the only performance review you and I will ever have that matters, not from the boss, not from the dean, it will be when we are called before the throne of God and Jesus will ask us one thing about our performance. Did you love me?